O God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. In today's reading from the Hebrew Scriptures, we encounter one of the most fascinating and well-known stories for both Jews and Christians. We meet up with Jacob, the son of Isaac and grandson of Abraham. Jacob's history is very important to this little piece that we read today. You see, Jacob was the younger of twin boys born to Isaac. His older brother was Esau, and when they were born, Jacob was grabbing Esau's heel. It was assumed that even in birth, he was trying to pull Esau back and overcome him, and so that's what he was named for. His name means something like heel grabber, which also meant trickster, overreacher, deceiver. And he goes on to live out his name. While the older brother traditionally got the blessing of the father, Jacob schemed to receive it instead. When his brother was starving, he traded him a meal for his birthright. And then when Isaac was dying and it was time to give his blessing to his son, Jacob, with his mother's help, dressed up like his brother and tricked his father into giving him the blessing instead. And so when this happened, Esau was angry and wanted to kill Jacob. And so Jacob ran away from his family's home. He went to live with his mother's relatives, and over time, he married two women and had 12 children by them and their handmaids. Through his continual scheming, he became wealthy and successful. So when we join Jacob in this passage, he has decided that it's finally time to return home after decades away. Remember, he left because his brother was so angry that he wanted to kill him. So now he's on his way home to face his brother and his family. And just before this passage that we read, he has learned that his brother is on his way to meet him with 400 men. Jacob is so terrified that he splits his camp into two, hoping that if Esau destroys one, that the other might have some chance at survival. And so this is where we join him on his journey back to his homeland. For years, he's run away from what he's done, deceiving his brother and his father, and now he must return and face his past. At this point, he's afraid that his past has finally come back to haunt him. Or maybe it's actually always haunted him, always been in the back of his mind all those years. Now he's worried that all of his fears may come true. And we're told that he takes his family across the river Jabbok. And for some reason, though, he returns. And he's left alone, away from his family, servants, livestock, and wealth that he has accumulated, alone in the face of confronting his brother and his past. And here starts the crazy, strange story that has captivated people for so long. We're told that a man wrestles with Jacob throughout the night until daybreak. But later, both the man and Jacob identify him as God, which makes it incredibly strange when we're told that this God in flesh cannot prevail over Jacob. Now, Jacob was never known for being physically strong. That was Esau. Jacob was wily, but just not strong. So basically, we know that Jacob is in the physical fight of his life, persevering and even prevailing, hanging on just by sheer stubbornness. When this God in flesh realizes that he can't prevail over Jacob, we're told that he strikes his hip. We tend to assume that this dislocates his hip. Now, I've never actually dislocated a joint, but I did once watch a teammate dislocate her shoulder and saw her writhing in incredible pain. And when her mom came and described the process and sounds of the doctor putting that shoulder back into place, I passed out on the kitchen floor. So I'm assuming that Jacob was in a kind of excruciating pain that usually would make someone unable to continue a wrestling match. And yet, Jacob hangs on. After fighting all night, and after having his hip dislocated, he will not let go. The man tells Jacob to let him go, and Jacob finally admits what he is hanging on for. He demands a blessing. A blessing. That's what Jacob, exhausted and in great pain, is hanging on for. Throughout his life, Jacob has worked hard to get blessings. At separate times, he swindled his brother and his father, working over a long period to get the blessing that should have gone to his brother. And he never got anything easily from his father-in-law. The blessings of wealth and family that he accumulated took manipulation and scheming. And now he's wrestling through the night, in great pain, for a blessing. Why did he want a blessing so badly? What did it mean for him? We talk about blessing often, but usually pretty informally. Bless you after a sneeze, or say the blessing before a meal. And lately, blessed has become a hashtag that's thrown around pretty frivolously. But is a blessing something that we would fight for? Something we would even scheme for? Blessings weren't something I thought a lot about before becoming a priest, but it's something that I'm asked to do a lot now. When I celebrated the Eucharist for the first time, I wasn't actually overcome by blessing the elements as I expected to be, perhaps because I had prepared quite a bit for that. But at the end of the service, when I went to give the blessing, the gravity of it brought me up short. Who was I to do this? What was it that these people had trusted me with? Since then, I have blessed babies just born and people living their last moments, couples exchanging vows, people taking up new positions and people moving away, as well as ashes, fire, prayer shawls, new homes and offices, and at least once a pair of motorcycles. While I didn't grow up with this tradition, I believe it's something incredibly important that we have to offer to our world. When we offer a blessing, we're declaring something that is already true. God is always present to us, always has been, and always will be. God's love for us is always and already reality, and God's desire for our good is abundant. But even though a blessing declares something that is always already true, that doesn't mean it doesn't matter. Quite the opposite. Our words and actions deeply affect ourselves and each other as well. Actually saying blessings, even when they're already true, can change both the one saying it and the one receiving it. I believe this because I have been changed by hearing the words of someone blessing me, such as hearing that I'm loved and cared for in moments when I was less sure. And I've been changed by giving blessings, such as when I've had to say the truth that God longs for the good of someone when I am struggling to do the same. While our tradition has given to priests the responsibility of announcing God's blessing to the community when we're gathered here for Eucharist, this does not at all mean that the power and responsibility to bless our world is only for priests. This is for all of us as Christ followers. In his beautiful Book of Blessings, I love how Irish poet and priest John O'Donohue describes. In the parched deserts of postmodernity, a blessing can be like the discovery of a fresh well. It would be lovely if we could rediscover our power to bless one another. I believe each of us can bless. When a blessing is invoked, it changes the atmosphere. In the light and reverence of a blessing, a person or situation becomes illuminated in a completely new way. In a dead wall, a new window opens. In dense darkness, a path starts to glimmer. And into a broken heart, healing falls like morning dew. It is ironic that so often we continue to live like paupers, though our inheritance of spirit is so vast. Let us begin to learn how to bless one another. Whenever you give a blessing returns to enfold you. Blessing was a powerful part of the ancient world, a world where the physical and spiritual were not separate, but deeply intertwined. Blessing, the word blessing even originally came from the word for blood, for life force. And as much as we have learned about our world since then, knowledge for which I am grateful, there's still so much we cannot explain, and I believe that much of that involves the intricate weavings of spirituality throughout our world. I believe we and many people know this at a deep level, even those who are not interested in institutional religion. Blessing each other and our world is a way that we can connect to the truth of who we are as spiritual beings, and we can be part of making the love of God known in our world and changing it to be more like God intends it to be. If the story of Jacob teaches us anything, It is that God is eager to be active in our world, longing to meet us as we are, and will do anything to bless us. After fighting all night, Jacob says that he will only let go of the man if he will bless him. The man asks what his name is. Now, Jacob's demand for a blessing from this makes us aware that he knows that something is special about this man. And there, in front of this one that he knows is more than a man, he has to say his name. He has to admit that he is called trickster, deceiver, overreacher. All of his life, he has had to tell people that this is who he is. And here in the face of God, he must admit it once again. He longs for a blessing, but he's known as a deceiver. Can he get a blessing? And so Jacob is told that he has a new name, Israel. He is told that it is because he has striven with God and humans and has prevailed. And so it's often said to mean struggles with God. But linguistically, this isn't quite correct. It actually means God struggles. Though the truth is, perhaps this linguistic inversion doesn't really matter. You see, Jacob is only able to struggle with God if God will struggle with him. Only a God who is willing to enter the fray, to be with Jacob, to continue to be in relationship, only such a God can be one with whom Jacob can struggle. So if Jacob is truly Israel, one who struggles with God, then we know that this God is one who is available, one who comes to us in all the vulnerability of human form. In Jacob struggling with God, in Jacob becoming Israel, we learn that God will do truly anything to be with us. And this is still our God, one who entered human flesh for all of us to know in Jesus. This God is still here to be with us, to struggle with us, and most of all, will stop at nothing to bless us. Are we willing to engage with God? Are we willing to seek God's blessing, to hold on and refuse to let go through the night? Are we willing to use everything in our power to share God's blessing with our world, to announce God's love and goodness in every moment to every person? As O'Donohue said, let us not continue to live as paupers when our inheritance of spirit is so vast. Let us begin to learn to bless one another. And in doing so, may the blessing truly enfold us, and may we know ourselves as we truly are, loved and blessed children of God. Amen.